hadn't started our live stream, so I get to redo my little spiel.
Victor, can you please be online so we can see you?
Can you put my video up? Once you get our live stream, kick the video to me if you would. Sorry. Okay. We're just waiting for the live stream to kick up here, and then we're good? Okay. And then put me on video if you would. Okay. So, good afternoon. I'm Victor Shook, Director of Public Utilities with the Public Service Commission. Commissioner Kringstedt was slated to kick this off today. She had a medical issue with one of her children, so she's not going to be joining us. It's approximately 12:05 p.m. Monday, October 13th, 2025. This is a public input session in the Public Service Commission hearing room on the 12th floor of the state capitol, Bismarck, North Dakota. We have remote sites in Minot, Grand Forks, and Fargo. Purpose of this meeting is to give the public an opportunity to provide comments on the proposed electric rate increase application of Northern States Power Company. At the remote sites, we have Commissioner Randy Christman and Commissioner Sherry Haugen-Hoffert. The rate case the comments are for today is case number PU-24-376. The commission has scheduled this public input to allow everyone an opportunity to submit information or comments concerning the requested rate increase. All comments received at this public hearing will be considered by the commission together with all other written comments received. The Public Service Commission will consider all of the comments received and the other filings in this case, which are available on the commission's website at www.psc.nd.gov. This hearing is being broadcast over the internet. It is also being electronically recorded. We ask anyone who would like to comment, speak into the microphone so that the broadcast and recording will be of good quality. And everyone will be given an opportunity to speak. And when it is your turn, please identify yourself for the record before you speak. Speak slowly and clearly. There's also a sign-in sheet either being passed around within the room or on a table near one of the entrances. Please sign into that so we have a record who was in attendance. We're going to start off with opening comments. So we'll start off with Commissioner Christman.
Good morning, everybody. This is Mike Jack. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you perfectly.
Okay, well, here in Grand Forks, certainly not a large crowd by any means, myself and others in the room are anxious to hear what everybody has to say, and we look forward to providing this opportunity for comment from citizens who will be subject to whatever we set when that time comes.
Thank you, Commissioner. And Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert, this is your portfolio, so I'll kick it to you, and once you're complete, you can kick it to the company for their presentation, if you would.
Thank you so much. As Victor said, I'm here in Minot. This is one of the first times, or it's been quite some time since the Public Service Commission went out into the communities where the utility is serving. It is good to be here in Minot. In the room, I have five people plus news media here covering, and the purpose of this is to hear from the public on the proposed rate increase. Before we go into public comment, it will be an opportunity for the company to give an overview on their rate case. So what's going to happen is I believe Alex is going to present from Xcel. Then it will be the opportunity for Randy, Commissioner Christman, and myself to ask Xcel a few questions, and then we'll open it up to the public. We will do a round robin. I think we will start here with people in Minot who want to speak. Then we'll go to Grand Forks and then finally Fargo. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Xcel to do their presentation. Thank you.
Say, Alex, you need to unmute yourself, if you would.
You hear me now?
Perfectly.
Great. Thank you, Vic. Do you happen to have my slideshow presentation that we can throw up for everybody to look at?
Yes, we will throw that up now.
Perfect, thank you. And I'd start us out on the second slide, the map.
Is that showing up for you now?
Now it is.
Okay.
Perfect. If you're able to see this, and if anybody would like an electronic copy or a physical copy, we can get you a physical one eventually, but digital would be easy enough. You may not be able to make out the entire contents of the first slide, but what I'm showing here is the service areas that we serve in North Dakota. As has been alluded to by Vic and the commissioners today, we're holding public input sessions in Grand Forks, Fargo, and Minot. We serve 97,000 customers, 97,000 electric customers in North Dakota, approximately 63,000 natural gas. We've been serving customers in North Dakota for about 115 years, and we're very proud of that. We live in these communities, we work in these communities. I live here in Fargo, and I work on the Fargo Service Center, which is a couple blocks south of here. I have Tony Grinberg with me here today, who's the director for North Dakota. Also on the line, I have a handful of folks from our regulatory department, legal, billing, and a few other departments. If there's any questions that come up, not particular to the rate case, if we're not able to answer them today, you can sure get my name, email information. We can reach out after this. I just want to start out by saying thank you to everyone. I can't see the people in Grand Forks or Minot, but I just really want to say thank you for everybody for taking time out of your day to come here and provide input on this. This is very important to have an open and transparent regulatory process. And as also has been alluded to, this is an input session. There's going to be a formal hearing in December of this year, except for 5 days. We may not use all that time, but it's during that period. During that formal hearing, we'll be going through the numbers and the regulatory filing that was made in great detail by the commission. Will have their own experts and consultants that will go through the filing, and we have our internal teams as well. And we have been working with staff through several rounds of DRs to go through some of the most important core issues and, frankly, all the issues that are of importance to the commission, to the company, and to the ratepayers of North Dakota. So it's a very robust process, and today is just one part of that entire process. And I just once again want to thank everybody for showing up here to take part in it today. Vic, I'd like to go to the next slide. Thank you. So this slide, we have high level to some points as far as our rate request. This was filed on December 2nd of last year. Overall, the requested increase was $44.56 million. That's an overall 19.34% increase, or about $22.34 for the average residential customer. I'll talk about average residential customer a couple times today. What we would amount that to is a typical non-electric heating residential customer using 774 kilowatt hours. So our overall requested increase was 44.56, but we've had an interim rate increase that has been in effect since February 1st of this year, in the amount of $27.37, or $27.37 million, an 11.8% overall increase, equating to about $11.30 for the average residential customer. So if you're following along at home, if you're a person that gets your physical bill or you get it online, you'll see an interim rate surcharge. It's approximately $11.37. since February of this year. I point that out just because historically, interim rates are something that are set. We have the right by statute to set that during the period this rate case is being contemplated. I'll also point out historically, final rates are sometimes less than the interim rates that have been set. And once again, those have been in place since February 1 of this year. the hearing dates that I've also alluded to, those are December 1st through 5th. Final rates, it could take a couple months, maybe longer to get that set. So we probably won't be seeing final rates in this matter until early or maybe spring of 2026, depending on how the regulatory process plays out. They've got to go to the next slide. Thank you. So on this slide, we talk about all the investments that we've been making over the last 4 years since our last rate case. There's a lot high level in the rate case, but one way to boil it down is to look at specifically what we've been spending just in North Dakota. In Al Krug's testimony, we allude to the fact that we've spent $460 million in just North Dakota in capital investments since our last rate case 4 years ago. Those investments, just something tangible to look at, are IT, AMI meters, other meters, our overall infrastructure to make sure that if people's power goes out, we know where it happened, why it happened, just overall system IT improvements, just to more effectively and efficiently serve our customers. There's been a lot of fleet improvements and investment to make sure that we have equipment that's going to run when we need it to, and we can get cars and service out to people when that's needed in a very timely manner. We've also been investing in our existing infrastructure, like our nuclear plants. We have two nuclear sites, three reactors that are very important to our system. We're making investments in those, and we're investing in, if you live in Grand Forks, you've probably driven by it. We're building a new service center in Grand Forks. I think it's fully complete by now. We just haven't had a grand opening. But that's another just very tangible investment that we're making right in here in our community in North Dakota. I do have one bullet point at the bottom of this page, and maybe there might be some questions about it. I know I've been seeing it a fair amount in the news lately. There's been a lot of talk about data centers in the state and in the region. I just wanted to point out that our rate proposal is not driven by recent large load announcements in our region. We do not have data centers in North Dakota that we're servicing. I would just point out, system-wide and as a company, we want to make sure that any investments in data centers or any data centers that are potentially looking at coming onto our system as a load, that they're covering their incremental costs and there's no cross-subsidization by existing customers for that new prospective load. Vic, I'd go on to the next slide. Thank you. Couple points on this slide just to give the overall rate increase some context. From 2019 to 2023, our customers, our residential customers' bills were about 28% below the national average. We're expecting that to remain at or well below that average after this rate increase is implemented. Two other things, and one of the bullet points here that people maybe can't see, are that with these increases, it has been offset by some of the fuel cost savings that we see with the resources that we have on our system. And then one other thing, if you're actively looking at your bills, you will see that as of August of this year, there is a production tax credit associated with nuclear, our three nuclear reactors that I already alluded to. We had a docket in North Dakota where we propose to refund $12.5 million to North Dakota ratepayers, and that's begun August of this year, and it will be refunded over a 12-year span or 12-month span. One other chart, as well as consumer price index from 2014 to 2025, that saw an increase of about 2.9%, and our residential bill growth, even if we had the full amount that we've asked for, the $44.5 million, it would still be below CPI over the last 10, 11 years. And then specifically over the last 4 years from when we had our last rate increase, we're also well below CPI, which was 4.5% over the last 4 years. And our rate increase for, once again, that full ask, if we get it, it would be a 3.2% increase. Vic, I'd go to the last slide now. Thank you. And this is my last substantive slide. On this one, I would just point out a few other items that all residential customers would be seeing on their bill if as proposed, it's fully implemented. On your bill, you have a customer charge that deals with, it's for billing, for metering, things like that, that every customer would have a customer charge like that, whether or not they use a very small amount of electricity or a very large amount. We set that at cost so that other customers aren't cross-subsidizing each other. If somebody uses a lot and somebody uses a little, we want to make sure that there's equity between the classes. So that's one thing that we've proposed in this case, is to move residential customers up from $15 to $21.50 per month. So with that, that would conclude my remarks. And at this point in time, I would open it back up to the commissioners or any or staffers or anybody in attendance to ask us any questions. And once again, I just really want to thank everybody for being here and taking part in this. Thank you.
Alex, this is Commissioner Haugenhoffert. I do have a couple questions. You gave a very broad overview. Thank you. But I want to just touch a little bit more on the primary drivers of the rate increase, as capital investments in electric generation, transmission, and distribution systems. And you touched on the amount that's specifically for North Dakota. Can you just go a little bit deeper into that in those three areas for the public that are here?
Yes, absolutely. So I talked about the North Dakota specific ones, some of the general and tangible. Those would be investments in fleet, facilities, things of that nature, IT. On the distribution side of things, we have undergrounding of power lines. I think we've been doing that. It's an initiative that we've been working on for the last rate case. I wasn't here for it then, but I think that was a big aspect of the prior rate case, and it's something that we're continuing to do to try to have reliable, affordable electricity. Reliability is always something that we're looking at, making the proper investments to keep people's lights on. So the undergrounding, and then I think we have asset management programs that we're putting money into, making sure that we're proper monitoring our assets and our resources to ensure that when you turn the light switch on, the lights will turn on. So that's on the distribution side. And then generation, we do have new resources that are coming on, some wind farms, solar farms. We have a repower of a wind farm in North Dakota that is captured in this rate case. So those are some of the major drivers, and then the nuclear one that I alluded to. Nuclear is a very important resource for us as a company. We have the two different facilities, and we have two reactors at the Prairie Island plant, and then we have Monticello as well. As far as this rate case goes, we're proposing to extend Monticello 10 years. There's always investments in a resource like that to make sure that you're keeping it up to date with any regulatory requirements. And also just doing something like adding new bolts or making sure the water processes, any of the cooling, anything else like that goes into it. There are investments that need to be made for a resource like that to make sure that it's reliably and safely continue to serve our customers. Those would be at a high level. I mean, that's a higher level for sure than what I provided earlier. If there's anything specifically maybe about any of those, we could definitely get into it, or some of the people online as well. Thank you.
Alex, just for clarification, what solar are you referencing that is impacting North Dakota customers?
It would be, we propose in the rate case to recover Sherco 1, 2, and 3.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. I know you talked about, you made a statement in your press, it's very big in the news, about large loads, and specifically the media that has been touching upon Harwood Applied Digital. And you said that you can state with certainty that Excel customers are not being impacted by that data center that's going in there?
Thank you for the question. I can confirm that we are not servicing that data center. It's going to be serviced by Cass County Electric Cooperative, power being provided by Minn Kota. So that would be the extent. As far as the ramifications on the overall system, I wouldn't be able to speak to it today, but as far as we're talking about North Dakota and for the purposes of the rate case, we don't have any direct affiliation with that proposed data center in Harwood, North Dakota.
Okay. Thank you. I'll defer to Commissioner Crispin if he has any questions.
So just, I thought Commissioner Alvin Hofford had a very good question there. And just to elaborate a little deeper, there's nothing calculated in here, I trust, for increased congestion charges or anything like that? Or do you anticipate that kind of an issue with that facility?
I myself would not be able to provide an opinion on that. We could definitely look into it further, or if somebody else on the phone wanted to elaborate, we could do that right now as well. Thank you.
And then while I'm on, really at this point, I'm more zoned in on hearing public comments, but my other question had to do with any amount of costs for the early shutdown of the Sherburne coal facility in Minnesota and what amount of that falls into these future rates.
Thank you. I think I caught the majority of your second point as far as the accelerated closure of the Sherburne County. It's Sherco 1, 2, and 3, and there's also the King plant. All of those core resources are captured in our rate case. It's something that's been talked about in prior resource plans, and it's something that overall as a company, we have a very robust planning process where we look at our portfolio system-wide, the different type of resources we have and how they all fit together. I can say that it's something that is being reviewed at great length in the case, and it's something that we'll definitely have to resolve prior to reaching a settlement or an order on this matter.
I don't have any right now. Others.
Can people hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Apologies, Alex. I'm Al Krug with Xcel Energy. Hopefully I could attempt to respond to Commissioner Crispin's question regarding congestion. Generally, congestion costs, if there are any, are addressed in our fuel clause filings. And certainly there are no congestion costs that we're requesting to be recovered in the current rate case. However, as I said, should there be any questions regarding congestion costs, we do have a separate process to address those questions. Thank you.
Alan, can you state for the record your title with Excel?
I apologize. I'm Associate Vice President of State Regulatory Policy.
Okay, thank you. Victor, do you have any questions?
I do not.
Okay. Then we'll start with public comment here in Minot. If you are going to speak, I'd ask you to go to the podium and state your name for the record.
My name is Bob Hayes. I live in Minot. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
And I just have a prepared statement. According to the North Dakota Monitor, Northern States Power Company, NSP, part of Minnesota-based Xcel Energy, has asked the North Dakota Public Service Commission to approve a rate increase of more than 19%. If the PSC approves a full increase, an average NSP residential customer would pay an extra $22.34 per month over last year's rate. NSP customers have already seen an interim rate increase this year while the rate case is pending. The increase was nearly 12%, or $11.36 per average residential customer. According to a broadcast on the mighty 790 KFGO in Fargo, Xcel Energy's proposed 19% electrical rate increase in North Dakota is the largest rate increase ever requested by Xcel for North Dakota's 97,000 customers. The increase would bring in more than $44 million a year for this Minnesota-based Xcel Energy. Xcel last year retired one of three coal units at the Sherburne County Generating Plant, also referred to as Sherco, near Monticello, Minnesota. It plans to retire Sherco's remaining coal-fired units in 2026 and 2030, marking the company's full exit from coal. The plan is to construct a solar collection plant and have North Dakota customers pay almost twice as much as Minnesota customers for the conversion. The customers in Minnesota have been earmarked to pay about 10% of the cost for the conversion of the Sherburne County, Minnesota plant. North Dakota has been chosen to pay 19% for the conversion while not obtaining any benefits from the present coal plant or the proposed solar plant. Xcel has created an overall plan to eliminate all of their coal burning facilities in North Dakota, Minnesota, and Colorado. North Dakota has some of the highest quality lignite coal in the world. It differs from coal in the eastern United States by being hard rather than soft, and when pulverized, it burns efficiently and cleanly in the coal gasification process. There's very little effect on the environment with the exception of producing carbon dioxide and steam. North Dakota facilities are self-sufficient and produce affordable energy. There's a misnomer that solar, wind, and hydropower are green. I also add nuclear power. Green energy sources, while coal gasification is not. That's far from the truth. Minnesota appears to be deconstructing North Dakota infrastructure by eliminating coal-burning facilities. It has also been demonstrated that large windmills and large solar collection sites are detrimental to wildlife. One species in particular is the greater prairie chicken in North Dakota. Power companies are monopolies and don't afford customers a choice. After all, I can't run my lights and electronic equipment with natural gas. This reeks of taxation without representation. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you for the comment, Bob.
Is there anyone else here in Minot that would like to get up and speak? Seeing none, I'll refer to Grand Forks.
Commissioner Hogenhofer, did you call on us at Grand Forks?
Say that again, Commissioner Crispin. You're cutting out.
Yeah, yes, Randy. She's asking if there's anyone there who would like to speak.
I think we lost Grand Forks there. I'm sure they'll pop back up.
So we'll just pause while we reconnect with Grand Forks.
I think I hear Grand Forks. I don't see them, but I hear them trying to speak.
I apologize. We are having trouble with our internet.
Okay. Is there anybody there who would like to speak, or should we move on to another site?
We do have one.
Tell them we can hear them if they don't mind. Just
I heard Chris Randy speak, so
yeah, whomever Randy, there wants to speak, we can. If he just wants to do it, speak verbally, and yeah, the sound is fine. I think we lost them again. They must be having more internet problems there. Commissioner Haugenhofer, would you like to just go to Fargo, or should we try to wait for Grand Forks?
Well, I think we have interested people here who would like to hear all the comments. They're investing their time, so I would prefer to wait a few minutes to try and get Grand Forks so everyone can hear what is being said. And I had head nods here and Minette that agreed with me on hearing public comment.
Okay, so Grand Forks has one person who would like to speak, but their internet keeps dropping them off. So I'm going to let him speak through my phone, and I'll put the phone up to the microphone so everyone can hear what he has to say.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Okay, Randy, I'm go ahead.
Can you hear me, sir?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. This is Casey Inman in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And I was wondering a lot of questions. I'll put some of them online. But you talk like Minnesota isn't affecting our rates, but they are using the power line that was just built. I understand it's by Minn Kota, but Minn Kota rates have to go up, which affects your rates. True or? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. We can.
Yes, as far as a Minn Kota line that would be raising our rates.
Right.
Without a bit more specificity, I probably wouldn't be able to answer that question right now. But if you wanted to give me your contact information, we could absolutely reach out to you afterwards.
Well, should I just put them on online since this is so hard?
Sure. I think as part of this process, there is a way to electronically submit comments or questions.
Okay, maybe that's better because this is not working real well.
You know, for the public interest, I think if you could just read your questions and then XL can respond.
Okay. I was wondering if Minnesota rates or infrastructure affects Grand North Dakota at all, because Minn Kota is the one that did them, and their rates have to reflect that, which is a has to be reflected in North Dakota's rates. Is that clear enough?
Go through all your questions.
I'll just go through them all. Okay. I would like a breakdown of how much each type of electricity generation costs, coal, nuclear, solar, gas, and wind. Okay, natural gas is what a lot of households use. I was wondering, you know, you've had to go to get rid of coal because of government pressure. Is there any pressure to get rid of gas? The interim increase I was a little confused about, is that included in the requested increase? Is that an addition or is that included? What are the rates in Minnesota compared to North Dakota rates? And specifically, why is the Sherburne electricity generating plant being closed? And that's the questions I have for you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir, for your questions. I can speak to at least two of those issues just very quickly. The interim question, and it's a very good question, and I'm always happy to clarify that one. This rate case was filed December of last year. Interim rates they took effect 60 days after our application was filed. Those interim rates have been in effect since February 1st of this year. Those interim rates are final rates. They're not over and above or on top of that. Historically, what has happened is that final rates, when they're set, they're around where the interim rates are. And in the case of if final rates are set at a point that's below interim rates, our customers will receive an interim rate refund for the difference plus interest or the amount that you've been paying over and above what the final rate would be. So that's a very good question on interim rates. As far as natural gas, we, as a company, in the last integrated resource plan, we just approved one new natural gas combustion turbine that's going to be built in Minnesota, and then we have extensions of two other CTs in Minnesota as well. There's an active docket that the company has in front of the commission right now as far as our commitment as a company to build a CT in eastern North Dakota that's tied with a west-east natural gas pipeline. I'm here to say that it's an active docket, so I won't go into it too much, but that's a project that excites us a lot, and building thermal generation in eastern North Dakota is something that we're striving towards. As far as some of the other questions that are specific, as far as breaking down the costs of the various generation resources, I think I'd have to take down your contact information and provide you with that after this. But once again, I just really want to thank you for your comments.
Anyone else in Grand Forks to speak?
No one else here. Thank you.
Okay, we'll move to Fargo.
Test. Thank you. I'm Brent DeCray.
I'm here on behalf of North Dakota State University. So on behalf of North Dakota State University, I want to express significant concern regarding Xcel Energy's proposed electric rate increase. It is one of the largest public institutions in the state, NDSU relies heavily on affordable, reliable electricity to support our mission of education, research, and service to North Dakota. Electricity powers more than classrooms and offices. It sustains laboratories conducting critical research, climate-controlled environments protecting millions of dollars worth of equipment and samples, technology infrastructure that supports thousands of students, faculty, and staff, and facilities that serve North Dakota communities. Rising rates increase our operational costs, which impacts students and taxpayers of North Dakota. We are particularly concerned about five items. The financial impact. At the proposed rate increase, NDSU projects that our annual electrical costs would rise by over $1 million. Second, student impact. Higher operating costs strain university budgets and can lead to increased tuition and fees directly affecting North Dakota families. Third, research competitiveness. Increased utility expenses reduce resources available for research in agriculture and technology, areas that directly benefit the state's economy. Fourth, public stewardship. As a land-grant institution supported by state taxpayers, we have a duty to oversee resources efficiently. Escalating energy costs reduce our ability to invest in campus improvements and student success programs. And fifth, the timing and transparency. With rising costs already affecting public institutions, further increases in utility rates feel especially burdensome and need careful review to ensure they're justified. We respectfully urge the Commission to carefully review Xcel Energy's rate increase request and consider the impact it will have on large public institutions such as NDSU, and by extension, the citizens of North Dakota. Any approved increases should be small, phased, and clear measures demonstrating that the funds are being used to improve service reliability and support long-term energy solutions for our state. Thank you for your attention to this matter and for the commission and for your commitment to balance the interests of utility providers with the needs of North Dakota students, families, and institutions.
Thank you for your comments. Would anybody else in Fargo like to speak?
Hearing none, we will proceed to Bismarck. We have a representative from AARP who would like to speak.
Good afternoon. Josh Askvig, AARP North Dakota State Director. On behalf of our members in the Xcel Energy Service Territory, we have a few comments on the proposed electric case PU 24-376. First and foremost, as others have stated already, we're concerned about the size of the utility's proposed rate increase. 19.34%, quite frankly, is just too high, and it should be reduced. Especially when you consider, my understanding is that about 86% of North Dakota Xcel electric customers are residential customers. And so it's going to have a significant impact on residential ratepayers. I also understand Walmart has suggested to shift more of the cost increase to residential customers. We would certainly push back against that suggestion as well. Second concern, the customer charge. You've heard us, commissioners have heard us talk about this before, but the fixed charge that customers pay before they use any electricity should not be going up from, I believe it was $15 to $21.50 is what I saw in the proposal. That would be among the highest in the country. Not a good proposal and something we would not support. High fixed charges make it more difficult for consumers, specifically residential ratepayers, to control their energy bill, and so we disagree with the accounting methods that put more costs for recovery into that fixed charge. especially when you consider if the average bill is going to go up $22 a month, you've got over a third of it that you have zero, or approximately a third of it that would be unable to do anything about trying to reduce that impact. Last two, I'll be brief on. The requested rate of return is higher than we're seeing. The national average is about 9.6. My understanding is the return request here is 10.3. We think it should be more in line with the national average versus the proposal. And then others have already touched on this already, but the costs associated with Minnesota policies impacting North Dakota ratepayers. We have no standing on what policy may be right or wrong, but North Dakota ratepayers shouldn't be paying for policy decisions made by another state. So with that, thanks for the public input process. I know it's been a little bumpy, but having multiple locations to offer input, I think, is an important part of the process. And I know folks can also offer comment online. So appreciate it.
Thank you very much for your comments.
So I'm going to ask just one more time if there's any additional public comment regarding this case, Xcel's rate case. Anybody here in Minot? Seeing none. Grand Forks?
There's none here.
Okay, thank you. Fargo?
None here.
And Bismarck?
There's no one else here.
Okay. I'll give an opportunity if Xcel wants any closing comments before we end this public input session.
My only comments would be thank you to the commission and staff and everybody that attended this today. I think it's really important to have an engaged customer base, and it's novel and it's exciting, and it's a shorter commute home for me for lunch than if I were in Bismarck for this. So I really want to thank everybody for attending this today and looking forward to our 6 o'clock as well.
Commissioner Crispin, do you have any final comments before I wrap up?
Except for to acknowledge we were out, I don't know how many comments were made from Minot. And just seeing the tail end of one about the last few seconds and didn't even catch the gentleman's name. If there were, so I don't know if there was one or multiple comments from there, but I'm assuming we have it recorded at the office and I'll review that. And hopefully maybe we can have this working a little better this evening at 6 o'clock.
Okay, thank you. For the record, Mr. Crispin, we had one person, Bob Hayes, speak in Minot. And I think you should be able to listen to the recording, but I know maybe he wants to submit his comments too in writing so you can see them. I really want to thank Xcel and one of our staff member, Victor Shook, who worked really hard on getting these arrangements done. We appreciate the extra effort. We like going out. Like I said, it's been a while since we've been out into the communities where the service is being held. I think there's benefit and also convenience for those customers, ratepayers, that we go out into the communities and connect with them. As indicated, we will be doing this again at 6 p.m. in the same locations. You as a public are welcome to come back at 6 o'clock and join us. But hearing no additional matters to come before this public hearing, we will now close it out. And Victor, I don't know if there's any formalities there you need to do from the office in closing this out.
Nope, you covered it very nicely. So this meeting is closed.
Thank you, everyone.